Then I give a testimony about Korean experience. Okay? Great.
Good evening. Yeah, I was asked to give a testimony about how I came to this, our church, how I found God, how I joined, and especially about some experience. Explain to you. Actually, the deepest experience initially I found in our homeland, Korea. But first, I would like to give you a little overlook how I came to our church.
Will you hear this?
You have heard already, Mr. Koch, my spiritual father, and you have heard already, Mr. Blanchard, my spiritual son. So, tonight, I'm in the middle. But I did not hear what they say. So, now I have to really watch out. Before I came to our church, actually, there was a long preparation ahead, which I realized much later. I was born in a part of Germany, what is today East Germany. And actually, all my education has been under communist control and communist direction. So, as all young people in this country, I had to work in school in this direction, being educated. And there was one thing which worked in my heart. I found I have to find some balance against all of this day and night influence, not to become a communist myself. I was not a religious person at all, and my parents also did not educate me especially. But at that time, this has been the year after the war, there was still a possibility to get in church work involved. So, actually more for the reason to find some balance in my soul, I became an active person in the youth. groups in the churches. And here starts the preparation which later on led me to contact and meet Divine Principle. Because in the daytime in the schools, I was responsible for, when I was 14, 15, for the young people, which have been 11, 12, to lead them towards communism. And the same young people in the evening or on the weekend, I had in the church to lead them towards communion, what we call in Protestant church communion. And the communists, they set the same age with 14 as a moment of dedication. With 14 years, all the young pupils in the school, they have to make some dedication. Also, the same age with 14, the Protestant young people must make what they call confirmation. And the most interesting thing has been, this was set nearly on the same day. Naturally, with the purpose to bring all the young people towards their, what they call, like a holy ceremony for communism. Perhaps the best translation. So, and I was leading one of these groups, and the most surprising thing happened. Nearly all of the young people which I was leading, they went to confirmation. So I became a very big black point on the list. So, and here starts actually the situation with me. I was under observance, and I was not too bad in the school at all, but my father had a very small business with one employee and was considered as a capitalist. So therefore, in order that I could study, I had to reach such a high standard which never could be reached by people which they call capitalists. So in the age of 17, something happened to my life the minister of our church told me, you know, every year there is a church meeting, one here in East Germany, one here in West Germany. And at that year, this was 1956, there was the meeting in West Germany. So the church minister observed me, how active I became, and because there are not many church people anymore, they had big hopes. So he asked me if he could manage that I can participate at this church meeting, hopefully then come back and become a strong person in this church. And I said to him, yes, but I never will get a visa for this, you know, I'm very well known. And with God's guidance, only a very few people of my city, the biggest city of East Germany, they got a visa. So I never explained my inside plan, what I had, not to return to my parents. And I explained just a very little bit. And I will never forget in this moment when I went to the train station and my father came with me. And then when the train started to leave out of the window, I told him, I will not come back. So this was a very shocking moment. Anyway, I arrived safe in West Germany, participated in this wonderful church meeting, because never in my life I experienced such a thing. Afterwards, the next day when the meeting was over, I experienced also the cruel and terrible reality of a satanic society, because this was exactly the opposite. So from this very moment on, nobody was ever interested in me or helped me, and really, I lost all connection with any church movement. And really I became a person like all the other million people. We call it in German the elbow tactic people, you know. The young people who want to go ahead, they use their elbow left and right just to march on. So then I really followed the education. I had to repass all my exams and got very good jobs and really was fantastically advanced on the materialistic side. And then I wanted to get even a more better job and a more better life, and I wanted to immigrate to South America. And in the meantime, both of my parents managed to come through some special way from East Germany over to West Germany. So, when I explained to my parents the idea, you know, I want to really immigrate to South America, to live in a big white house, have lots of money, have a fantastic job, don't worry about anything. Then, my parents, inside they were happy but unhappy, because they said to me, well, what do you think, for whom we made this life risky trip over the border? And I said, yeah, finally for me, that's right. But anyway, so my mother was really moved to tears, and I made a contract with my mother. And here comes the next step, how God works. I said to my mother, it's okay, I will stay for 1 year more, but not 1 day longer. So my mother was at least happy to have me 1 year more. So then I applied for some job, and in the most outstanding guidance I was guided to a job, actually, which has been, we say in German, a few numbers too big, really a few shoe sizes too big. And nobody really believed I would get this job. Actually 13 people applied for this job, and everybody whom I explained what I did thought it's completely crazy, you will never get this job. But I was somehow convinced. And you know, 2 days later, the big boss of this company called me and he said, even I cannot understand, we had a meeting with all our directors and they decided you should come. And in that I thought, you see, I was right. But I didn't realize at all what happened behind the scenes. Anyway, and I started my job, then the big boss presented me at, this is now your secretary and this is this. And also, you work together with a certain Mr. Koch, Peter Koch. He's an engineer, he comes from America, so you will work with him together.
But already 2-3 days after I started working, all my colleagues,
they took me on the side. And they said, Mr. Vincent, you know, this Mr. Koch is very good. But there is some mystery.
The mystery is this.
In the morning he is exactly in time there, usually tired. But anyway, he's doing a good job. In the evening, at the minute he leaves. We don't know. Something strange we must do in the evening tonight. I'm sure he has some new machines from America and some special things. He uses us only for something. But anyway, if he has something interesting, because this was a machine company, can you not, in a sneaky way, I said, no problem at all, I can do it. So, I approached him, and there was no way of contacting him. He said yes and no, that's all. So I tried 1 month, 2 months, and I did not realize that all the time, every day he saw me, that he observed me. Anyway, the boss took me on the side. No, did you not find out? No, I didn't find out. Yeah, but that's so impossible. He must have something. Anyway, suddenly one morning, this morning I will never forget, this Mr. Koch, you know him now, he approached me and said, you wanted always to talk with me. Oh, yes. I felt now. Oh, my sense. Oh, yes. And he said, you're coming on this coming Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, to me. Okay. And he said, don't take any appointment for all day. What? My refrigerator is full. This was the words he said to me. Anyway, I was living at this time with a very old couple. I had my room there. And the morning, this Saturday morning, when I left my room, I said to the old lady, I said, you know, today I'm invited by a very strange person. He said to me, I should come and talk and I will spend all day. And I told this lady, you know, I've been through many things in my life. This is the address. If tonight 10 o'clock I'm not back, just call the police and send the police there. Anyway, so I went to him and we talked about all kinds of things about South America. And, you know, with young years one has all kind of ideas and one overlooks many problems. And he showed me, you know, if you want to build a house there, that's nice, but you must also build a street and the telephone. Oh boy, so much. And then the water also. And suddenly my good dream, which I had from South America, somehow became a little smaller and smaller. And already inside I felt, boy, perhaps this Mr. Koch has some new invention, new things. Maybe if perhaps I can work with him, do something, who knows. I said, half I was a little open for this idea. Anyway, I remember the mission my boss gave me, find out the secret. So at lunchtime, the most strangest thing happened. I discovered this Mr. Koch was living with 3 ladies. I told the boy. I said, nobody in my entire job would ever think Mr. Koch living with 3 ladies. And then the most strange thing happened. He indicated somehow that these 3 ladies should not talk with me. And I discovered one of the ladies was his sister. But anyway, he was the only one who had conversation with me. And the lunch was over, the ladies had to disappear. Oh boy. I said, nah, this afternoon can be interesting. So then I said, Mr. Koch, you know, I remembered my mission. I thought, if I come Monday morning in my office, I have to give a report. I must find out. So then, the Mr. Koch said, oh yeah, how do you think so? And we spoke a little bit. And I said, you know, if you would have been put now by force on an island, and you could take only 3 books along with you, I really pushed him in the corner, what would be the 3 books? And he felt my intention, what I wanted. He returned the question to me. if this would happen to you, what would you do?
Oh, I said, very easy. I would take the Bible, as a good German, the Goethe Faust, sure, and then the Quran. I just was studying the Quran. This would be my three books. And then I said, Mr. Koch, and what would be your three books? And he astonished me with his answer. He said, I don't need three books. I need only one.
I said, Mr. Koch, your life is long. And he said, I even have translated this one book.
Boy, he really made it intention now.
Can you tell me what is this book?
Oh yes, I have this book. And he was looking a little, and he poured the book. And I think, never in my entire life I have been so disappointed as in this moment. You know what he told me? Divine Principle. I looked at Mr. Koch, I looked at Divine Principle, I looked at him again. I felt, yeah, what's that? Oh yes, I remember America, many sects, many funny movements. Oh boy, now this wonderful young man was fallen in such a terrible movement. Oh, I have to help him. So I changed my mind and I was very serious. I said, Mr. Koch, yes, I'm very interested. Can you show me more? And I took the book from him before he could react, and I opened the book on the end, what you never should do. At the last page, you know what was our first book in Germany, last page, was the timetable. You know, the three times 2,000 years. And he was so shocked, because I took the book away from him before he could explain anything to me. I opened the book and I had a timetable. And I looked a little and he was so afraid, what will happen now? And I looked over the timetable, and because I was always interested in history, I immediately could see, boy, this is very interesting. And I ended up on Returning of the Lord. Returning of the Lord. I had no idea at this time what it means. I had no idea what it means, the return of Christ. But anyway, one thing really caught me and caught my attention. 20th century, return of the Lord. So I said to him, okay, why don't you lend me this book? And after a few days, I give it back to you. And he said, no, I am not giving you this book. I said, Mr. Koch, I am living three or four streets away from you. Every morning you see me in the job. No, I am not giving this book to you. I said, finally you found somebody who is interested. No, he said, if you want to study this book, you must do it here. I said, Mr. Koch, don't be so funny. I mean, every day I have to come here. That's right, every evening. And you did not give me this book alone. So next morning we worked the company. Next evening I went with him home. I studied. First evening only 2 hours, then more hours, then the end at midnight, then we end at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and finally we worked nearly all night. After about 1 day, 1 week or 10 days, I had it once through. And then he came and he said, now, what do you think about? In fact, I was still on a strong search to find all the things which he had not seen. I thought he must not have seen it. I said, it's very interesting, but I'm still studying. Can you imagine? Every day after the work, I came. I had no idea. I was with him in the same office, but in the daytime, he was praying, doing many conditions. And the most interesting thing is, my boss asked me, no? What did you find out now? I said, you know, this is so much, I cannot even tell you right now. Then he said to me, that's good, take your time. Just after a while, when you discover everything, it's fine. You don't want to hear now. Inside I was very happy, but I didn't know what to tell them.
So then after about 3 weeks time, I had studied 3 times the entire book. And then I went to him. I said, you know, now I'm starting to understand. And he said, now do you understand why I came back from America? So, actually about 3 weeks it took until I really started to understand. So, he was the only professor, only teacher. I was the only student. We had no class. We had no blackboard. We had nothing. So then, I changed my mind. I did not go to South America. And I joined the movement. Actually, I became the first full-time member in Germany, because all the others, they had jobs, and I lost my job then in Germany, because I couldn't tell what I discovered. So I lost my job. But I was very happy. So this was the way how I came to principle. But there was always one thing I could not accept. I could accept everything in my principle, but one thing I could not, and this was spirit world. Spirit world and angels. And God knew, if I do not come to the understanding of angels and spirit world, I may lose the understanding of the rest and I may leave. So, I was always fighting with this understanding, but always this little part, I could only believe or feel. But I am a person always of reality and seeing the things and understanding things. But just about the last part, and I want to tell you tonight, just this one first spiritual experience which I had, and thousands more followed afterwards. But this first one was so decisive. Actually, this first one kept me staying in the movement. So, but the truth was so much that I walked already in this little center what they had. One evening, very early, about 8:30 or 9 o'clock in the evening, I had this feeling as if a voice were telling me, tonight you must go home. Home means my little room, which I still had. And there was no particular reason why I should go home. But I followed this voice. When I came home, there was nothing special in my room. I studied a little. And just short while after, same voice returned. Same voice, very strong. Stronger than I speak now. And this voice told me, you must always have some paper and some pen ready to write down things. And I looked all around, and I could not see anything. This was actually the first true experience in hearing some spiritual voice. I was so shocked, but at the same time I was so honored and I was so interested. I think this was a Sunday, and on Sunday all the stores are closed. And I remember I went quickly to the train station, there was the only store open, and I bought a new pen and a special book with gold around, because I had a feeling God or someone soon will give me an important message. So I really wanted to be ready. In returning home, this day, next day, next week, I was so concentrated in the evening. See anything? See anything? But absolutely nothing happened. I spoke to Peter Koch about this, and I thought he would be very surprised. He said, oh, I have many good things. Nothing else? Said, Peter, I heard a voice. He said, what? I hear many voices. I was so shocked. I thought I put him something very special. But for him it was nothing super special. Anyway, several weeks passed by and nothing happened. And fortunately, I forgot. Because in being so concentrated in waiting for something, actually I made the most terrible circumstances
said, no spirit could come to me, no heavenly father could come to me, because I was a tense.
Then, another day, same time in the evening, exactly same time, same voice told me, you better go home. But very gently, very nice.
So I went home, nothing special. I was sitting on the table, writing some things, and suddenly, same voice came back. And just this one word, and this one word was, look. And I looked. And in front of me, there was wall, and suddenly, I saw many, many spiritual beings. Lively big, moving around. And I closed my eyes. I opened my eyes. They're still moving. And I realized God had prepared this situation, that the last part of divine principle, which always has been not clear to me, became clear. So I took my book, and more than 15 minutes, there's all that's there, moving, many situations, different colors. I wrote everything down that I could see. And then after a little while, disappeared. And I was so overwhelmed. And actually, this was about a time when I started to learn about prayer. I had never prayed before. So, I thought, how can I do best? Perhaps, I had a very small little tape recorder. If I pray, and if I tape my prayer, and if I listen afterwards, then perhaps next prayer will be better. And better and better. So this was my idea. And here comes the next important experience. I really started my prayer. And afterwards I wanted to listen. And you know, what shall I tell you? All what was registered before my prayer was exactly there. Exactly this part, my prayer, was not registered. Afterwards, everything was there. I said, that's very strange. Let's try again. So, I did the same thing again, and the same thing happened. So, through these kind of experiences, on the very beginning, I had many, 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 I just told you two, I realized, for my understanding, that the spirit world is there, and how the spirit world functions, and many things more. And I was so thankful to God that He showed me so clearly these things. So then, my last little part, which still was not unclear for me, became clear. And really, full of my heart, I could not only join as a member in believing the truth, but I could join as a member who experienced the truth. So then, this was 1964, and then 1965, we had this great moment that Father made his first trip around the world, and we had so many exciting experiences with Father. Just want to tell you one experience. When Father came, nobody knew how Father is. And again, story with my spiritual father, Peter Koch. We sent him to Berlin to welcome him, because Father came from the Scandinavian countries. So in the evening, we telephoned him, because next morning he had to arrive in Frankfurt. I said, Peter, how is it with Father? Because he had no idea. And the Peter Koch said, you know, that's so much. I cannot tell you. I said, Peter, tomorrow we have to greet Father and welcome him. Tell me something. He said, I can't. And he said, I will never forget this. So the next day, we went to the airport and Father came. And we had to choose someone to greet Father with some flowers. But nobody had the courage. So finally, they choose what is today my wife. They choose her. And I think we still have pictures how he presented the flowers.
We really behaved as impossible children to welcome Father. But Father had such an enormous heart. Also, another thing, I was chosen to make the entire organization for Father's trip in Europe. And you know, I worked so strongly in organization before, I found out exactly when Father had to eat breakfast in Paris and what he has to see from 8 to 9 and in which museum he had to go from 9 to 10 and what plane he has to take at this place. I really made the program maximum full as possible. When he came, I was so proud of Father. With our little money, we made a super, super program. You really can see entire Europe. And Father looked. He said, I'm not going this way. So he changed everything so completely. And I was so shocked and I thought, boy, Father knows now Europe or you know Europe. This was really something very serious to me. But Father laughed so much and smiled so much. So he changed our entire program completely. And during his time in Frankfurt, there was one situation also I will never forget. I wrote many questions on a book which I wanted to ask the Messiah when he comes. And now he was there. He ate lunch. After lunch, we were sitting around the table and Father said, do you have some questions? Oh, yes. But my book was in some preserves. And as you know, when you are with Father, you cannot leave the table. And Father was so sad because none of us could really ask a question. None of us. There was silence. And then, what shall the Father do? He started to teach us a song. And the song is Dong Bang He. So 1965, actually, this was the greatest gift for the funny little children. You learn the song Dong Bang He. Then, Father made his trip to Europe, and you know, as children are, on the way in Germany, Father's film camera broke, and big problem. But I knew Father made his film camera. Actually, how little children are, we were very happy, because this means the film camera has to be repaired, and must somehow come to Father again. So, happily, I was chosen to bring the film camera to Father on the way in Switzerland. So I was very happy to be with Father again. Also, could be there and blessing one of the high mountains in the Alps. And then, we had only one car. This was a VW bus. And I could send his Father in the VW bus driving through Switzerland. And I was hoping and praying, perhaps Father forget that I am here and I can just continue. So Austria, Italy, I would be just great. But in Switzerland they speak French, especially in the Geneva area. Suddenly Father said to the driver, was the Paul Romer at this time, you stop here. You know, he stopped on the train station. Until today I cannot understand that Father could read in French that this is a train station. He turned to me and he said, you are very busy, no, aren't you? No, I'm not busy at all. Father said, you are. This is the train station. The train goes back to Germany. Bye-bye. So I said, bye-bye, and car was gone. Anyway, you know how children are. Then, during this time, also, Father said one important thing. Germany can only grow if you send out 3 missionaries first. Now at that time we had about, 11 members when Father came, 10 or 11 members. And it was really sacrifice to choose 3 people and going in 3 countries at that time. But anyway, we followed Father's advice and I volunteered to go to France. I have to tell you, there must also be something spiritual behind. Before coming to the movement, I went so many times to France, sometimes every 2 weeks. I couldn't speak French at all, but there was something spiritually going on. I always drove very speedy to Paris. The closer I came to Paris, the more speedy I drove. And I drove very slowly back.